Morning. So the reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Talofo, everyone. How's it going? Te ao manuia in my language, in my native tongue, in Samoan, our culture, which means good morning. Good morning. Just thought I'd ease into it. So, a few jokes. Why did Santa go to music school? Because he wanted to improve his rapping skills. Okay. How's that one? Hey? My kids love my jokes, you know. It's just that time, that season. Anyway, good morning. Earlier this year, late one night, you know how you just receive one of those calls that just seems to interrupt you in a moment? And in my household, it was a typical Sione evening. And it looks like this. Looks a little bit like this. We get home from work, Renee and I, and then you're kind of cooking dinner, you know. You're multitasking, you're doing homework. You kind of kick the kids into the shower, get in the shower, and doing all that all at the same time, right? And then finally that's all done. You're doing prayers, you're going to bed, and they're settling down. And then you're kind of, I've been trying to think about this experience of where your soul catches up to your body. That 30 seconds of that sacred moment when finally you're like, wow, I'm actually here. And young people call this ever thing, and they call it just chilling. You know, when your soul has entered your body and you're just like, just chilling, okay? And I receive this call, ding, 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 whatever your ringtone is, and I'm kind of like, oh, my Lord. Now, people that know me would say, this guy never picks up his phone. That's a lie. That's half true. I'm just one of those people that kind of thinks about if it's really important, they'll call back or they'll leave a message. And so usually I just kind of play like that. Anyone else like that or is it just me? Yeah, see, Hector, the brother, gets it, you know. And so I look at my phone, it's really late at night, it's 8 o'clock at night, okay. It's late, okay. See, I just divided the room then, you know. You've got some of the, you know, people my age are like, yeah, good man, he's living the dream. And then there's the young people that kind of go, man, the night is early, the night is young, we just started. I look at my phone and I'm like, wow. Theo de Klerk. Now, a little bit about my friend Theo. He's an architect. He's part of the Reformation Church here in Palmerston North. Really passionate on church. And I'm like, and he loves talking about his whakapapa. And we love talking about Jesus. We could yarn for hours. Theology, all that sort of stuff. And I'm going, why is this guy calling you? So I do what everyone in ministry does, eh? Yeah, you know that. You know, you pick up your phone like, it's late, but... Hey, and then you face it downwards and you just put it on a dresser next to you, right? You just ignore it. And I go back to chilling. I'm settling down, you know. I'm about to, takes a couple of hours for me. I'm about to serenade Renee with Sione's snoring sonata in C minor. You know, she loves it. And I'm just about to get into that space. And then, darn it, I forgot to put my phone on sleep mode. And so I pick it up and it's Theo. And usually when you get these types of calls, you understand two things. Number one, okay, what did I do wrong? Did I lock the church? Did I turn the aircon off? You go through the list of things and possibilities. So you begin to build this sense of anxiousness. Or number two, there's a crisis moment happening right now. So I pick up, Theo, you're right. How's it going? What's going on? And he's like, Davis, I've just watched a movie. And I'm like, okay, not the best time for a movie review, you know. And he goes, I watched this movie and I thought of you. It's called Tina. He says, it's Tina. And I'm half asleep and he's going, look it up. And I'm looking it up and he goes, do you love music? And I'm like, okay, first you call me. It's 10:45, it's the middle of the night. My gym bros, they know, you know, Sam and Isaac, they understand what I'm saying here. This is the middle of the night for me. We get up at 4:20 in the morning, okay? And I look it up and I'm like, bro, you pronounced it wrong. Can I have my first slide, please? I'm like, actually, first you're calling me in the middle of the night. You pronounced it wrong. It's not Tina, it's Tina, okay? But yes, continue. But the reason he called was that he had good news. He had a message that touched him deeply. And he knew my story enough that he had to share it with me. And whānau, that's similar to what we're hearing in the text right now. Out of nowhere, an angel shows up in the night sky, pretty trippy. And I don't know what your view of angels are, whether it's, you know, halo, wings, 12-pack, all that sort of stuff. But usually in biblical terms, the interpretation is messenger. And they turn up unexpected, interrupting ordinary people in ordinary day, ordinary life. Just like Theo was interrupting my beauty sleep. The last person I expected to be calling me was some good news. So just like the shepherds were the last ones expecting heaven to actually break into earth. So usually when the messenger, we see this in scripture, is there, there's also a message attached with the messenger. Don't be afraid, the angel said. I bring you good news. I bring you great joy, but not just to you, to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, anointed one. The Lord has been born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And we hear that heaven can't even contain itself. Because right after that, the angel speaks. Right after he speaks, there's a host of heavenly angels. And they explode the sky in worship, praising God. A few things to notice. I just want you to notice the response of the shepherds. Fear. Shepherds like me on the phone, talking to Theo, immediately go into panic mode. What's wrong? What's going on? What's happening? Are we in trouble? But the very first word that we hear from the angel that is spoken are the words that many of us need to hear, which is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The shepherds fear the same way I feared Theo's phone call at that time. But the angel reassures them, saying, this is good news, actually. I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to everyone. Now, some of my pondering this week, what might make it hard for us to receive that good news? To take in these moments, and a few things that kind of just think about my own story, and number one, when we begin to realize God breaking into our lives, whatever season, specific season, time, age, and there are moments where we know that only God knows in us, our first instance, it's not woohoo. There's usually a slight kind of, whoa, what is going on? What is going on? Because I've told no one, but God is making his entry into our life. And we know that. We know that deep within our souls. There's something happening here. The presence of God, we're understanding and connecting with the presence of God entering into our lives. Number two, the second thing that pops in my mind is just God's timing. I don't know how it works. I really don't. And I'm not going to explain it to you. All I know is usually in hindsight, when you look back, you find a littered path of steps where God has actually in hindsight walked with you, but you never noticed at the time. We're always kind of almost catching up to God in a sense that we realize, far, he's right here. He's been here all along. And that can usually make it challenge that our first response, the human response, is fear. We don't know what's going on. We can't see into the future. But guess what? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, is born. And we're connecting with that. And so my second slide, what I want to think about this first part is what I call God comms. I like to suggest that it isn't random here. The whole story of Scripture, from the beginning, God has always been communicating. God comms. Always been communicating with his people. We see that in Genesis, Andrew talked about the Trinity, this triune God. Out of the joy explodes and it kind of overflows and it speaks, it connects, it's a language. And that in itself, the joy they share, that language creates humanity and creation. And we see that littering Scripture. Or is it in Noah, in the day of Noah, when God speaks and rescues in the corrupt world at the time? And I think of Noah and I go, what was he thinking when he said, are you sure? Do you think he was fearful at the time? Or I think Abraham, when God speaks a blessings to all nations, all people of the earth, a promise that this day will come. Or to Moses, I actually had an Old Testament reading, it was Exodus for this morning, where God speaks deliverance through the form of a burning bush. A message, the messenger. I have seen the misery of my people. And guess what? So I have come down. That's God speaking to Moses. And what does Moses do? He notices holy ground. We talked about that? Noticing God breaking in. Across the biblical story, we see God is always speaking, always sending, always drawing close to you and I. And that's my point number one. Number two, the shepherds, okay? We're going to talk about these fellas. Who are these shepherds and what is all about? What is that all about? In that context, they didn't have a good reputation due to the nature of their mahi, their work, right? Because of their mahi late at night, their work kept them from ceremonial observation, rituals. So it kept them on the outside. They were considered unreliable, low of status. And yet, believe it or not, I think it's God chose them. God chooses them. And one thing I want to kind of reflect on in the passages before, up until now, the story has stayed close. Stay close with Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, John the Baptist, this inner circle. But here, you have the story begin to expand outwardly. The message is now given to the outcasts. God speaks to the margins. So the shepherds don't become different people before they go. They just go as they are. With their mahi, with their work, they just, okay. And I kind of like to imagine it like these guys going, were you tripping? Did you see that? Did you say, you know, nah, should we go check this out? Let's go see if this is actually, because they know a little bit of the story. And they're going, let's go see. Can I have my third slide, please? And they move. They leave the field. They cross the boundary. They go. I too had to cross this movie boundary and see this movie that Theo was calling me about. And I just kind of tagged it onto my date night with Renee. You know, I'm like, hey, let's go see this awesome movie. She's like, what's going on? I don't want to see this movie. But spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, who has seen the movie? Okay. Yeah, good 80% of people. Yeah. So spoiler alert, I'm going to play a little scene from the clip that I think is talking about this crossing the boundaries. Tina, I'll give you a synopsis, okay? Tina, Marietta, is a grieving Samoan mother who takes teaching job at an elite school, a place where she doesn't quite belong, and neither do the students in front of her. Many of these young people are high achieving on the outside, but disconnected, guarded, and carrying their own pressures. Marietta brings them together by forming a choir, not just to sing, but to create a space where voices can be heard and people can be seen as people. What starts as an awkward, reluctant group slowly becomes something more as they learn to listen to one another and move together. Can we have the scene, please, Thomas?
Okay, focus on your breathing. Breathing in and out. Now, I want you to focus on the breaths around you. Even though you're in your own space, you're still in an active relationship with each other. The space between us does not separate us. Connects us. This is called Leva. This space, this Va, belongs to us, belongs to our choir, to our family, to our community. This is our space. Now I want you to reach over and place your hands on the stomach next to you. Feel their breath. Good.
Busfika culture, we have this thing called the var, the space between. And I love what Marietta was saying here, and it's a real thing. We do this practice in our own youth work practice. Space between doesn't divide us, it connects us. And here we see in the text, because if God is ever present, is omnipotent, is ever knowing, is all knowing at all times, in all spaces, doesn't matter what barriers you draw, God is there. So the specific concept is that what is between us connects us. These boundaries that we cross. And the manger in our text is a sign. Proves that joy doesn't arrive through power. Joy arrives through proximity. Connection. The sign given to the shepherds and now us, you and I. that exists. In Tina, as boundaries are crossed, healing flows both ways. Aku, learning, both ways, that way, this way. Joy is reborn through relationship, not a whole process or linear. It's received in and out. It's like breath in and out. Can I have my last slide, please? When Israel was looking for a king, the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's house. Son after son, he's passing through, trying to find. Strong, impressive, these guys are. Obvious choices. And Samuel asks, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse replies, well, there's this young fella, he's just, you know, he's out in the back, he's mining the sheep. Mining the sheep, he's just out there. He's not kind of considered as part of this plan, this God king. Julia last week talked about characters we were given, and my character that was given to me was the character of David. Specifically, David versus Goliath. And it just happens at our text this morning. Here we have Joseph, the descendant of David, travels to the town of David in Bethlehem, the place where the shepherd of all shepherds will be born. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, who wasn't yet in the room, as David Rowe would say. Jesus hadn't walked into the room yet, but here, he's in the room. And once again, God's true king doesn't arrive where we and people expect it to be. Not in a palace, not among the priests, but in a manger. Announced to shepherds that the shepherd of all shepherds has arrived. In the Old Testament reading I had was that Moses doesn't want to go. But he goes anyway. The shepherds are afraid, but they go anyway. But Jesus, no hesitation. Just joyfully goes, empties himself, comes into creation. And let's not forget that while this kingdom is happening, there's another kingdom being built here with Caesar, and Luke is pointing to that. While this kingdom is being built here, God is inaugurating his kingdom coming down in the form of a baby. Quietly, humbly, relationally connecting. God doesn't wait for us to climb up. He now comes down. And that's the symbol there of the gospel message. Joy isn't the absence of pain. It's the presence of God breaking into our lives. At some point, Advent stops being a story we admire and celebrate with gifts, and it becomes a story we step and lean into. Our story, yours and mine. And we hold this together. And I had three questions for you this morning that are in our email as well. Number one, where is God speaking to you right now? And have you paused long enough? Has your soul caught up with your body yet about the presence of God breaking in? I've been pondering, and I was walking this morning, and have you lost your joy in remembering that? That the King, the Creator has entered. Haven't you caught up yet? Have you felt like your joy's just been seeping or leaking about who this God is we worship? This God is that saved you and I. Or number two, what fears or boundaries might be holding you back from stepping towards God this season or the next season? What's in the way? What's that fence that you haven't kind of, you've been sitting on a fence, but yet to maybe think, I should probably step over. And that fence might look like just as simple as prayer or coming up for prayer. Your fence will look different in what season, shape, time frame, context you're in right now. Well, what does that fence look like for you? Because it's not a matter of has God come in, it's a matter of have you received it and have you crossed over? What is he inviting you to? Number three, who might be God calling you to share this good news, this season, this joy that we all celebrate that belongs to us? I'm going to play you one more scene. This is my last clip, and I'll end after this. For me, this season marks a crossing as well, for me. As of January, the end of January in 2026, I'll be stepping off staff here at All Saints Church. I'm committing my time to serving a wider, what I think God, this pathway God's calling me into. This pathway, I want to be a bridge of bringing people back to God. Crossing those boundaries where people are fearful to go. I want to go there. I feel like I'm called there. For our young people, for our community, for our families. And so for me, it marks a season. So as we encounter Jesus together, I'm just going to play this last scene and say a few things.
Sorry, folks, I'm not sure what's going on, but it appears our final choir for the night, the Assisi Singers, have forfeited.
Sorry, can we pause for a second?
Oh.
Just a little second. So what has happened here? I better tell you, like, what's going on? They've journeyed together. They've crossed boundaries. Joy is into their lives and healing has happened on both ends. And when Theo called me and he said, I know your story, knows my passion for young people. This movie was too real for me. Things I encounter every day. Things we work with. Things that this body here as a family has equipped me to go out into our city and schools of organizations and go with that passion, and people have been able to connect with Jesus in a different way. Context, that's where they're at. Marietta has now passed away, so sorry, I said I was going to spoil the move for you. But the product, what is left is this relationship and this deep belonging that they're loved and they're received. And so, thank you.
They're coming out after all. St. Francis College, Assisi Singers.
Intern.
Luapati, hey, hey,
ho!
Hey, hey,
ho!
Totafa, Totafa, Lalo,
Itano sanga.
So Theo was right. Connected deeply with me, this movie. I told the guys he was purposely leave this screen shot. If you don't know, Pua was a Samoan actor that was here in New Zealand, famous, you know, in our words, you know, people knew him, but he committed suicide. So this whole movie was shaped to connect people in regards, this was the product that came out of something sad. And I think Jesus, this joy is connecting us back, reconnecting us. It's a rebirth. It's connecting us. It's crossing bridges. Jesus is now here. And this year, in the last couple of years, I've had the honor and the privilege to journey with many young people, which everyone thought, they're long gone. And my joy and my privilege has been joining and seeing the work of Jesus breaking into their lives without even me preaching or talking, just being there. Proximity, as Jesus is now close to us and lives in us now through the power of the Spirit. So I'm not leaving the family, sorry. Okay, let's just put that out there. And I wanted to be the first to share that. I'm being sent. The shepherds heard the message, they moved, they rejoiced. And the joy we share with them is that the Savior of the world has come near and Jesus Christ is here and still goes before us. And if I could summarize all of this in two words that we hear in the gospel, it's follow me. Joy is here. Recapture it. Reconnect. I don't know. Pray. Say it again. We're so in awe of you, Jesus. Thank you for crossing those lines and being close to us. You've gone before us. You understand what it looks like. We're part of your creation and you've guided us. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the continuous calling out and for us to receive the joy that now belongs and no one can take that away from us. Give us courage to take our first step to receiving you once again. And when we get afraid, remind us that you are close and you love and you've given your life for us. Be with us in your mighty and wonderful name. And everybody say, amen.